Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, climate pollution from Ireland's electricity sector has hit its lowest level in decades, according to a new report from the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, the SEAI. However, our record solar and wind generation has been more than offset by the growing demand from data centres. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Programme Manager for Energy Statistics with the SEAI, Dr. Lee Carroll. Good morning to you, Dr. Carroll.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on talking to you.
Thank you very much. So listen, let's deal with the positives here. First of all, on wind, solar and climate pollution, the figures are going in the right direction. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's important to recognise that progress. So last year was a record year for energy-related emissions in Ireland. They haven't been as low as this since 1993, so for 30 years. Energy-related emissions last year were lower even than during the height of COVID impacts in 2020. And we set record highs for wind, solar, heat pumps, biofuel blending, and many other sectors. But context is critical. We can tell from the numbers that although Ireland is making progress, even unprecedented progress, we're not at the pace we need to reach our 2025 and 2030 climate targets.
Mm-hmm. So we need to pick up the pace. By how much?
Very significantly. So, for example, if we look at wind, just as an example, over the last decade, Ireland has been installing wind at a pace of about 0.3 gigawatts per year. And we need to do five times that if we are to achieve our target of 14 gigawatts of installed capacity by 2030.
Is that doable?
It's what's necessary for Ireland to achieve its targets, and those targets are necessary for Ireland to do its fair share in combating climate change.
Mm-hmm. Just looking at this one figure, an 80% increase in the amount of our electricity coming from the UK via the interconnector. But under the rules, the emissions from that electricity generation are counted in the UK, not in Ireland. Now, some people might look at that and say that's a clever workaround.
I think it's pretty important to address that quite directly. So there is no creative accounting going on here at all. This is how emissions are captured across all European member states. So it's important that emissions are captured and counted in the country that creates them, because that's where the regulators can go in to make sure that all is above board and that the quality of the combustion that's taking place is in line with necessary emission standards.
Mm-hmm. And from a safety and security point of view, is it better that we source that electricity from the UK rather than from the Gulf, for example?
Yeah, it's important really just to recognise that we import about 85% of our energy in total. So we import all of our oil, all of our coal, and we're importing about, in 2023, 9.5% of our electricity supply. And interconnection is kind of good policy for enhancing renewable electricity going forward, because renewable electricity is inherently intermittent. So, you know, wind turbines generate electricity when the wind is blowing and solar panels when the sun is shining. But it might be the case that it's sunny and windy in France and it's not in Ireland. And we want to be able to bring that renewable electricity that's generated in another country into Ireland, because mm-hmm. it will displace fossil generation in Ireland, if that's the case.
And then the Irish Independent reporting today that the gains from wind and solar are more than offset by the rising demand from data centres. And we've heard about this pretty continuously over the last while, Lee. You know, they liken this to paying off the interest only on your mortgage and making no progress on the substantive amount. Do you think that's fair?
It's definitely a way to look at it. It's really important. It's not just about adding renewable electricity to Ireland. We need to be adding enough renewable electricity that we can satisfy our increase in demand, but we're also able to ease into, say, that principle, that core installed capacity of fossil generation. So it's about adding renewable electricity at a much higher pace than just satisfying demand. It's not about keeping our head above water. We need to make progress. And we can only make progress by adding significantly more renewable electricity than we need each year.
Mm-hmm. But then we have, on the other side of the balance sheet, the demand increasing all the time from the data centre. So it's like running to stand still.
Yeah, I guess it is important that we recognise that a very significant fraction of the increased electricity demand that we experience in 2023 comes from data centres. So when you do the maths, about 80% of the increase in electricity demand last year can be attributed to increased demand from data centres. Mm-hmm. So they are a key driver in Ireland's electricity demand uptick.
All right. We need to be mindful of that when we look at our climate goals. Now, another area where we're 90% dependent on fossil fuels is transport. So planes, ships, petrol and diesel cars. I mean, that's a colossal figure. 90% dependent on fossil fuels, Lee.
And it's even slightly higher than that. So it's 92% for road transport. That's cars, buses, vans, etc. And it increases to 94% when we include things like rail and aviation. And it's a really good point, or it's a really good example of progress and success being different. So Ireland made great progress last year in transport. We had the highest biofuel blending into petrol and diesel that we've ever had. So about 8% of the diesel that you, if you fill up your van in a forecourt, is biodiesel, and about 4% of the petrol is bioethanol. But even though we're setting those records for biofuel blending, as you said, we are still 92% dependent on fossil fuel. That's all being completely imported. And we desperately need to see reductions in that to people, opting and being able to opt for public transport, active transport, and to be using more electric vehicles so we can displace the number of ICE or internal combustion engine vehicles on the road.
Okay, I'll come to electric vehicles in a moment, but the biofuel blending that you mentioned, what sort of a difference is that making to the overall emissions when it comes to transport?
So it's actually really, really interesting. So we saw an uptick in the amount of energy demand going into transport last year. So more diesel going into and petrol going into our vehicles. But because of the increase in biofuel blending into that, we only saw, and we shouldn't be seeing any increase, but we saw an increase on the order of 1% of emissions last year. But demand for energy for transport went up by more than that. But biofuel, the increased biofuel getting took the edge off that increase. But mm-hmm. important to understand that we need to be seeing not small increases. Small increases aren't good enough. We need to be seeing large decreases.
Yeah, and then we have this fall off in demand for electric cars, and we've seen that borne out in numbers recently. Really, that needs to be increasing, not falling back.
Yeah, and there again, we have to be very careful, I suppose, when we're dealing with the numbers. So we've never had more EVs on the road than we have now. So the kind of the acceleration of their uptake is slowing down. But the number of EVs on the road every month is going up. And importantly, the renewableness of the electricity going into those EVs is going up over the years as well. So more EVs on the roads and more of those EVs proportionately being powered by renewable electricity.
But it may be the case that the people who had intended to buy one, they have one now in the main. And so perhaps a way needs to be found to prompt more people into making the switch.
That's true. I mean, we do need to incentivize and provide, policies and support that allow people to make climate positive decisions. But it's important to acknowledge that EVs aren't the only solution to this. We need people to be taking or opting for public transport where it's available, to be swapping out short journeys in private cars with being on the bike or walking, and again, to further increase the biofuel blend. So really, there's no silver bullet. EVs aren't going to solve our problems. They're one important piece of the puzzle, but we need many other pieces to move into place mm-hmm. to reduce our transport emissions.
Well, let's address the elephant in the room, or the elephant in the sky now, air travel, because there is no viable solution when it comes to removing fossil fuel from that equation, is there?
Well, actually, there's progress now under the new Renewable Energy Directive, which puts targets in place for sustainable aviation fuel, SAF. I won't throw too many acronyms around, and mm-hmm. eSAF, or electrically generated sustainable aviation fuel. So there is progress being made there, but it is. We said before that 92% of road transport is fossil. It's 99.9% for aviation fuel.
Yes, but in these numbers, it's not included, is it? The emissions from air travel.
So air travel. So to be careful here. So national emissions account for national consumption. So national emissions would account for national aviation. But when we start to move over to international accounting, so where there are flights leaving or arriving from Ireland, there's a different system. It's bigger than any one country. So there's a kind of an umbrella organization across Europe that kind of keeps tabs on all international use for aviation and maritime. It's the EU ETS, the European Emissions Trading Scheme.
Okay, but it's a very difficult one to count overall, isn't it? And to get a broad view of the picture of emissions coming from air travel.
Well, in some sense, we know exactly how much fuel is going into planes that are taking off from the airports in Dublin. So last year, Ireland fueled up 1.35 billion litres of jet fuel into planes. And just to give your listeners some perspective, that's as if every person in the country, all 5 million of them, filled up a bathtub with 250 litres of jet fuel. That's how much jet fuel went into planes on the tarmac in Ireland last year.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. But when it comes to the emissions that that generates, because there are different impacts, aren't there? We spoke about this on the programme in recent times. When that fuel hits the air at different levels in the sky, it has different impacts. So that's what I mean about the difficulty around counting emissions from air travel and the impact that it has on our environment.
100%. And it's not as if that these emissions aren't counted, because they're not counted in Irish or different member states' national accounts. They are counted at a pan-European level. And there's kind of carbon tax and other mechanisms in there to try and address that. But as you said, we desperately need to move towards more sustainable fuels for aviation to try and bring those total emissions down.
Lee, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for explaining all of that to us. That's Dr. Lee Carroll, who is Programme Manager for Energy Statistics at the SEAI. Coming up next, is September a good time to reset and make changes in our lives? That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.